Hello and welcome. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting live from UBC, located on unceded Musqueam territory. I'm your host, Nina Panini, and this is Deliberate Noise. Today's show features an interview with Ruby and Rowan of the band Rudy. We talked about the classic Vancouver to Montreal move. We talked about being a jack-of-all-trades artist, the superiority of the bass guitar, the unachievable goal of being Mariah Carey, and the Bank Dogs Russian Hall Basement Classic as our introduction to the Vancouver music scene. Stay tuned for my interview with Rudy, but just before that, I'm going to start the show off with a few tracks. First up, I've got a song from TJ Felix. This one is called I Listen for Giants on CITR 101.9 FM.
Down.
That was Pantayo with Taranta. Next up, local band Gadfly from their self-titled debut release. This is Gadfly.
We'll be right back.
This is Deliberate Noise on CITR 101.9 FM. That was Mannequin Pussy with Romantic. Right before that, Gadfly, a kind of newer local band. Coming up soon on the show, I've got an interview with Ruby and Rowan of the band Rudy. First, though, I have a song from Cyrus Jordan from his latest EP, Red Room. Similar to Rudy, Cyrus is a bass player-fronted band. And Cyrus is actually playing this weekend with Book Club, Max Boonch, and Dawson Ghoul. That's happening at the Ada 555 Gore, Sunday, October 24th. So from his EP, Red Room, here is Cyrus Jordan with Like a Star, I Left Your Sky. an incredibly relatable song about getting all dressed up, doing a fun makeup look just to stay home and have a dance party by yourself in your bedroom. That was Makeup by Rudy, and you are listening to Deliberate Noise here on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm really excited now to share with you an interview that I did with Rudy. Rudy consists of Rowan, who you may know as a core member of Winona Forever, and Rudy also consists of Ruby, a writer, journalist, screen printer, illustrator, and of course, rock star. Here is my interview with Rudy. Please enjoy. All right. Hello, Rudy.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me today. Could I ask you to introduce yourselves, please?
Yep. My name is Ruby.
I'm Rowan.
And together you are Rudy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
So Rudy has been a band for a couple of years, but the two of you have been involved musically for quite a while. Tell me about the evolution of Rowan and Ruby into Rudy.
That's a good question.
Well, like, you started playing bass a few years ago, and you toured with us, like, in my other band, Winona Forever, and then we just kind of, like, started making music together and, like, writing songs and just sort of, like, having fun.
Yeah. Making rock.
Yeah. But then, like, we moved to Montreal together, and then, like, you moved back here, so then we kind of weren't really able to, like, do much for a while.
Yeah, it was a lot of sending demos back and forth.
Yeah, and, like, voice memos and stuff.
Yeah, and doing, like, little songwriting challenges where we wrote a song a day for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Just for fun, and then kind of working those smaller ideas into finished pieces.
Yeah.
Finished.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, you moved back to Montreal, like, last summer, and then we were kind of able to, like, actually make music in, like, the same room
every day.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Ruby, who or what attracted you to the bass?
I was first attracted to the bass out of desperation of there needing to be a bass player when there wasn't one. So, in a sense, the void called me in to the low end. And then after learning a whole bunch of Winona Forever songs and the bass in, I think, 2 months-ish, I realized that the bass is by far the superior instrument.
Ooh.
And I was wasting my time trying to learn the guitar for many years. And I really like the way that it combines rhythm and melody. And there's less strings, so there's less stuff for me to worry about. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can just bleep it.
Thank God. Yeah, and the bass is really fun to play. And you don't need to use a pick.
Were you one of those guitar players always losing your pick? Was that a problem
for you? It just never made sense in my hand. Mm. I think I blame the fact that I'm left-handed and my right hand just isn't going to hold something that small for so long. And it just made more sense to use fingers.
So you're left-handed, but you play it the right-handed way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't know why. Too hard to find a left-handed one? Well, yeah.
Do you think that's the way that a lot of bass players start? Is, like, there's a band that needs a bass player? Which for some reason is always happening. Like, just revolving bass players seems to be a thing.
I don't know why we're like that. Yeah, I think a lot of people probably transition when they realize that guitar sucks and want to do something fun.
Wow.
What is the hardest part of writing a song? And are you a lyrics first person or a lyrics last person?
Oh, I'm definitely lyrics first. I think I write a lot of songs, like the one that we're putting out now, like all the words I wrote down one day and then worked backwards into making that a song, like putting chords and the melody there. Definitely lyrics first, then rough chord outline, and then bass. The one issue with writing songs and primarily playing bass is that it is really hard to rough something together with just words and bass playing. So usually lyrics first, chords bass last.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that's because, or would you say that you consider yourself primarily like a writer, like rather than a musician, because you do come from like a creative writing background and like poetry?
Yeah, I think so. I think words have always driven my like creative output. And I really like poetry and I like rhyming and rhythm. So that's how I think it leads into being musical. But I don't think it comes from a instrumental into a song. So yes.
Cool. I have a question about the Vancouver music scene.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So,
oh, good.
So a lot of people describe the music scene in Vancouver as being quote unquote incestuous, meaning that musicians will be in like several different bands with almost the exact same members. So you can like go see a show and there's three bands playing, but they're all just like different combos of the same people.
Yeah. And
yeah, what do you think of this type of scene? Like, are all music scenes sort of like this? Is it inevitable? Is it a problem? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I do have to say I agree with the fact that that is often what is happening. I think it can be interesting, though, because in my experience of that, like, usually people are playing different instruments or different genre, and it is, like, a very different expression. It's not all, like, the same indie band with guys just, like, switching rhythm and lead guitar. Like, I find it interesting to see people trying different experiments, just as long as it's not, like an exclusive environment where it's very hard to break in as like a different musician. But I haven't found that at all. Being fairly new to playing music, though I've attended them, I found everyone to be very welcoming and like down to try stuff. But yeah, there are a lot of bands where like one person walks off the stage, another person comes on, and then there's kind of a musical chairs, and then it's a whole new band.
Right. So, but yeah, you think like maybe it actually makes it easier for people to kind of join or get started because like they know like, oh, this person plays drums, like they could also play drums for me. Like,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah. And I think a lot of when we were in Montreal, it was similar kinds of like people filling in different projects. What there was a lot of overlap still. And I think it makes it so people are more open to trying, like, helping someone out or, like, filling in for a little bit. It's not like, oh, I'm only in my band and I don't give a shit if, like, you don't have another guitar player or something like that.
Yeah, it's more like kind of like community, like everybody helping everybody out and, like, making stuff together.
Let's talk about Montreal because you've both kind of made the classic Vancouver to Montreal move and then back to Vancouver.
Yep.
Has living there made you appreciate Vancouver more, or are you just, like, eager to return? Or neither of those things?
I think what I was surprised in Montreal is that it's still a lot of people from BC and Toronto doing the same shit, just in a different city. So, like, in Montreal, we met a lot of people from BC and from Toronto that I was like, oh, I probably, if we would have seen you here and see you there and see you back here. Which is interesting. Montreal has a different, like, approach to shows, but there's still a lot of talented and interesting acts coming out of it. And I'm always happy to see different, creative expressions. But I would say, and I mean, this is probably also just because I've been connected to the Vancouver music scene since I was, like, 13 years old, that there's a lot more of the same people, and then there's like a community aspect that's different from like students moving to a different city and playing there for a few years and then leaving it. So I'm not sure if Montreal really has, or at least the scene that we were in. Now I'm thinking.
Yeah, like, did you meet any people like grew up in Montreal?
No.
Like, okay.
Yeah, like not a lot.
Yeah, I think that is also because there's still quite a large like Anglo like Francophone divide. Mm. Like my roommate in Montreal is a musician from like a small town in Quebec, and she had a very interesting band and like a whole bunch of members, and like they've been putting out music for a long time, but they didn't really have any overlap with like the Anglo scene. Yeah. It was kind of all a shame because like if it hadn't been like quarantine, like I would have been able to see more of her performances and the bars and venues that they played. But yeah, there's no sense of like those two worlds colliding.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, like most of the shows we went to were like English. Like, yeah. I didn't see a lot of French bands.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It kind of sucks. Now I think about it.
Can we talk about your name? Where does the name Rudy come from?
Yeah, I just wanted to make it really confusing for everybody.
Success.
I'll respond to like either, like they're both kind of names for me. But yeah, Rudy came from when I was a child. I was quite hard of hearing, and that translated to not spelling very well. And just not understanding how sounds correlated to letters on the page. So I would spell my name as Rudy, like B's and D's switched around a lot. And that was always something that I was very like cut up by, because I couldn't spell my name correctly. But I kind of, a little bit cheesy, but to me it's about like that being like making mistakes and that kind of stuff, like being okay and not like shameful or like super embarrassing for me. So it's kind of a way for me to be like, you know what, it's fun, it's fine, like lighthearted.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww, I love that. Was the first show that Rudy ever played at the Avant Garden in 2019?
Yes, the okay. One and
yeah,
only.
That's true.
Right?
Oh, is that the only show?
We kind of played two, but it was sort of very different because it was like us, and then like we played one show with Alex. And
oh,
we played one
yes.
show with Chris.
Yeah, with like one practice each. It was kind of rough, but fun to do something. So yeah, we've managed to, in many years,
play two shows.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not exactly your fault. But
no.
I guess that's true.
I was trying really hard to do like Nardwuar levels of research and figure out what like the first show you ever played was, Ruby.
Oh yeah.
Was it maybe the Band-Aid Mag release
yes!
party in 2016?
Yes.
Oh, whoa.
Okay,
you're
so
right.
Tell me about that.
Wow, you remember lunch date.
That is
lunch date. Okay.
One show, one kill.
Musical debut.
Yeah, me and Zinnia decided that it wasn't good enough to throw a show. We also had to play our own show.
Nice.
So that band was a one-time wonder for that event.
That was sick. I liked
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 333.
Nice. Was it, like, did that lead into Rudy? Like, did those songs carry over? Like, what was that project?
No. I think...
No.
I don't think they did.
Just a one-time thing.
Nah. I don't actually remember what they would have even been.
Wow, okay.
I think it was me, like trying to be the most Frankie Cosmos that I possibly could.
Oh, were you on guitar?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, right, because Nick played bass.
Nick played bass, Zinnia played drums, and we played songs.
It was sick.
We did do a cover of Solo by Jason Derulo, but I think the sound was so bad that no one really got it. But I remember that. That was cool.
Were you also involved with like Ignite Fest? And because you mentioned like 2013 was when you kind of joined the scene. So how did you like get started?
I was in some plays as a child actor, and the Bank Dogs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Were also in that like theater group, and they were the band in one of the plays. So that was my first time. We actually did all of our rehearsals at the Russian Hall, like upstairs, not in the basement. And then the Bank Dogs were like playing a show with like, I think it was Feng Shui at the time, in the basement of the Russian Hall. And I went to one of those like after one of our theater practices. And that was my introduction to...
Whoa, I think, yeah, same for me.
Yeah.
That would have been 2013 or 2014, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. The basement classic. Oh my god. Why didn't we know each other? Okay.
You were too cool. I've literally seen you for years and been like, don't talk to Nina.
I'm cutting
you
this.
Keep this out. In. You keep this in. I'm going to listen for this part.
Okay, so you love Mariah Carey, right? would you say Mariah Carey is influential on your sound?
Yes. I would. I think her spirit definitely is something that I aspire to. Yeah, I love Mariah Carey. I think she's awesome. Always have, like, so many... like, she's lasted for a really long time and just has a really, like, great attitude that I think I really struggled to portray or to embody myself.
And I don't think anyone else truly can.
But you know, it's the dream, you know? You have to have like an impossible goal and just feel like you're never getting there.
Okay, who else influences your sound or influences you in general in life?
I think I look to a lot of rock kind of people for who I like want to be. Obviously Joan Jett. My god. like really iconic. Love everything about her aesthetic and songwriting and the way that she performs. I listen to a lot of Shakira with my dad in the car, and so I think that I don't know if I carry any sense of Shakira, but like that's something I listen to a lot alongside like Rolling Stones, Twin Peaks, Heinz kind of stuff. Yeah.
Do you have like a bass hero?
James Jamerson. Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
Like a session bass player in like Motown scene, played with like Marvin Gaye and who sings Bernadette?
The Four Tops,
like played on a lot of tracks that you know he's not credited, just like a studio musician, but like, man, that guy can play. There's some like isolated bass tracks on YouTube of his that are just like glorious. He only played with one finger, which like hurts my brain. I called him like the hook. I don't know how he played so fast and so clean with just one finger. That's impressive. And then Carole King.
No, I was getting confused.
Oh, the Tale of Two Carols. Actually, also the Tale of Two Kims.
Two bass players? Oh.
Like, Kim Gordon and... Oh, God, Kim Deal. Mm. Who is in which one?
Yeah, no, I couldn't tell you.
But yeah, Carole K. Played, like, Beach Boys, another, like, studio... She actually went from guitar to bass, absolutely the right choice, and killed it a lot, has really interesting, like, melodic approaches to the bass that I think are influenced by her guitar playing. And she does, I think, like, lessons, like Skype lessons.
Yeah, she does.
And I'm like,
and she has like some books and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm just slowly working up the nerve to do one of those because I'm terrified.
I feel like she'd be intimidating.
Yes. There's a great clip of, God, and this is her trying to teach Gene Simmons bass tricks, like the Kiss guy. And it's a beautiful clip. I mean, she's horrified. Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about your first single, Rebox? It's my favorite one. Just tell me what it's about.
I think that song is about being really frustrated with yourself, and feeling stuck in a mindset that you're not really able to shake, which is how I feel a lot of the time. yeah, I think it's about frustration and not really having a clear idea of where you're trying to go. And I think the song is also like two parts. So there's kind of the more soft opening and then there's the kind of like rah ending. I think it started with a song that Rowan originally wrote. Like, you wrote the first line.
Yeah, I wrote like the first line and like the instrumental stuff.
Yeah, and then I finished.
Yeah, you kind of like extrapolated it into like a more done song.
Yeah.
With like a really long, intricate bass line that is very hard to play along to. It's such an interesting song. I like it a lot.
Yeah, we like to do a lot of songs with parts that don't repeat, just to make it less catchy.
Yeah, like a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a challenging song to play and sing, I have to be honest.
Yeah, we like just relearned it so we could play it.
Yeah. But it's always good to challenge yourself with things that are difficult to do.
Thank you.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Floating Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hey, you're still listening to Deliberate Noise on CITR with Nina Panini. I just played Rebox by Rudy, and now we're going to get back into the last little bit of my interview with Rudy. Here you go.
Yeah, you're very multi-talented, Ruby.
I like doodling. another thing that I just did, like, in the note, like, all my notes for school and everything, like, I have to be writing or doodling something at the same time, otherwise I'm not listening to, like, what's going on around me. I'm, like, very much a fiddler. So I think that's where, like, doodling and, like, that kind of stuff came from. Also, like, making zines. Yeah, those were all done, like, digital style, which was kind of something I'm experimenting with, sort of frustrating. But, yeah, I do like doing the covers, just 'cause. That's a terrible answer. Yeah, did that, so.
So you guys have three singles out, and you're going to be releasing another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday. It's.
Well, this it'll be like yesterday.
I will be playing it on the show because this will air on Monday. So.
Okay. Yeah. So it will come out on Friday.
It's already out.
Yeah, that was we made that in Montreal. Like, we were working on it during the summer, and then, like, we got Chris to play drums on it from, mm-hmm. like,
long
like
distance.
He was here and we were there.
Yeah.
So I, like, sent him tracks and he, like, played on it, and then we've just kind of been, like, fiddling it for a while and, like, just sort of, like, waiting.
Yeah. Like, what is, like, you have to agonize a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? That's the fun part. But yeah, that is, it's like a rock song.
Do you have plans for an EP or an album anytime soon?
I mean, there's songs. I haven't thought about... No. But there are songs.
Yeah, I think we'll probably just put out, like, singles for a little bit and, like, make more music, and we'll see.
Yeah. I think we're just still experimenting a lot with different stuff. There isn't, like, a plan for a big release. Just slowly over time. We managed to... Like, it's a one song a year thing, so maybe we can, like, amp that up and have, like, two.
We'll
three?
See. Yeah.
One song a month? I would love that.
It could happen.
Yeah, maybe.
We're getting faster.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a bunch that are, like, done that we will put out over the next little bit, probably.
Yes. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. But we're excited to like play some shows now that we sort of can, and so we'll see how that goes. And
yeah, we will see. We will have seen.
Yeah.
If a toilet falls from the sky, what happens?
Oh my god. I don't remember. Wow.
I could tell you. Are we supposed to feel something? No, Ruby is a poet. Ruby's also a journalist. So you write articles about bands, right? For Ear Milk.
I do that. I haven't done it in a few months, but yeah, I spent a year reading press releases and then writing little blurbs, which is cool, seeing the other side of marketing teams. And seeing some cool stuff like cross my path that I wouldn't have heard otherwise.
Yeah, I have fun going through your articles. Like, I just go to Ear Milk and I type in your name, and then I just read everything you've written. And like, well, if Ruby likes it enough to write about it, like, it's probably decent. So I found some good stuff doing that.
Cool.
I just brought that up because you're just like on so many sides of the scene. Like, you write and you write music and you do art for songs, and you're just like, you know, you're coming at it from like every angle, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's my inability to actually make a choice and stick with it. Like, yeah. I feel like I need to try everything or how will you know? It's kind of always been my issue, is that I like doing too many things. Mm-hmm. And I always worry that it leads to not being good at anything and just kind of being, like, okay at a lot of stuff. But I think that, like, where I perceive it as, like, a massive flaw and that I should just like focus on one thing and become like a f-ing shredder at that, it's like not bad to have many interests.
I totally agree. I'm the same way. I'm like, well, I'm not really that great at anything, but like we already have protégés for like every single thing. Like, yeah. I don't need to be that.
And it's already too late for that.
True.
You should have thought about peaking 10 years ago.
Okay, so by the time this interview comes out, you'll have already played a show, your first show in a really long time, on Saturday.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling right now before playing it, and like predictions for how you're gonna feel after?
I feel incredibly nervous.
Okay.
Very scared. Just, I might as well air this now. Yeah, I feel very nervous. Singing in front of people is something that strikes a lot of fear into my soul. But I really like playing bass, and no one else, Rowan has not offered to take over singing. So I have to do it. But I'm excited to do it with the, new people, kind of different songs. It'll be a whole like rebirth.
Yeah, it'll be like our first show with like a whole band.
Yeah,
which Isaiah's playing guitar, and
yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. And I think afterwards I'll probably feel like a little bit embarrassed and like I can't believe that happened, but I just gotta get over that.
I'm so excited for the show. It's going to be really fun. Okay. We're just about to wrap up. So I'm going to be playing your new single in a sec. So do you want to tell me about it a little bit before we play it?
Yeah. Gutted. This song, I was going to school and I was like, I have an idea for lyrics, and so I wrote down all lyrics on a piece of paper, and then we kind of fiddled it back and forth for, it's kind of old, like a couple years of this and that.
Yeah, probably like a year and a half, I guess, is like when you wrote it.
Yeah, but I like this song because it feels very like big, like it's kind of like my approximation of like arena rock.
Yeah. Yeah, it's our arena rock song.
Yeah. So, you know, an arena rock song in a DIY setting. And it is very big. We recorded the whole song like a half step down.
Yeah.
So, and there's like a lot of open E string on the bass, so it's like really low and big. And it's just like a song that makes me feel like, you know, strong and bad.
And who doesn't want to feel like that?
Yeah, like juiced up and kind of evil.
Damn. Okay, I'm ready. Awesome. So that was an interview with Rudy. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Nina.
Yeah, thanks. This is Rudy.
And you're listening to Deliberate Noise with Nina Panini. Yeah. Hell yeah!
That was the new single from Rudy called Gutted, and I've probably blasted that one like already 20 times in my bedroom. What an amazing song, and so good to hear Rudy play on the weekend. They killed it live. You can see Rudy play again this weekend. They're playing on Friday at the Ada, which is 555 Gore. And they're playing with Kid Monday and Bell Tower. So that's Friday, October 22nd at the Ada, 555 Gore. Check out Rudy. And also Kid Monday, last time I saw him play, he did a cover of The Killers, When You Were Young, which is obviously one of the best songs to hear live ever. So live music on Friday, and then also live music happening Sunday, same venue, Cyrus Jordan, and a bunch of other people. That's all I have for Deliberate Noise today. Tune in again next Monday at 5 for more Deliberate Noise. Thanks so much to Ruby and Rowan for letting me interview you. And stay tuned to CITR in 1 hour. Exploding Head Movies with Gak will be on. Catch you later. Stay warm this week, guys.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Musqueam,